it is not given to us to peer into the mysteries of the future. Still I avow my hope and faith, sure and inviolate, that in the days to come, the British and American people will, for their own safety and for the good of all, walk together in majesty, in justice.
Bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their fight.
We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
Escape of Cthulhu presents Actum Cthulhu, Shadows of Atlantis by Lynn Hardy. 8. Okay, now I'm ready. Sorry about that. So someone want to fill us in? Catch us back up to speed?
Well, we're in Peru, which is pretty good. And we're looking for our final artifact, and we're pretending to help look for a lost German expedition that was looking for a lost city in Peru. And so we are working with the Germans as we fight against the Germans. And we took a boat up the coast, and then as we were driving up from the coast into the mountains to the Not Vineyard Plantation, where we will spend the night and get our guides and so forth, we had a little bit of time going backwards, briefly. We thought like the cars stopped working, and the sun was suddenly in the wrong place, and then we looked at our watches, and they were off or normal or something, but it was all... We gained time. I think we gained time. I think it got earlier all of a sudden. We first thought it got later, but then we realized it actually got earlier. Yeah. As many hours earlier when the engines start again. So it had been sunset or after sunset, and then all of a sudden it's earlier evening again. And we're not aware of any time passage in terms of other things like hunger or... We didn't check stubble. That's always a good one.
I had checked my camera to see if I had taken
number of
frames was the same. Yeah.
Yeah. So we have no reason to believe that we're losing memory at this point, but we definitely feel like we lost, or that the time changed. One thing I was remembering, which I shouldn't bring up, is that I'm pretty sure we didn't make a sand check for that.
That's true.
He says quietly. obviously we shouldn't have, because it's perfectly normal.
Exactly.
It's only the other.
It was only an hour and a half, 2 hours. So yeah, that's.
and the curious thing about that was a slightly different sort of experience than when we first appeared in Peru, because before we had lost like a day or two, right? We had suddenly appeared in the middle of that party.
The thing that was weird then is that we seem to have lost our memories as opposed to time shifting weirdly.
Right.
Right.
Other
exactly.
People remembered interacting with us, and the schedule all kind of hung together.
Although we all had that vision that seemed very real as well.
And we had those two visions, right? We had the visions that were in Peru.
Right.
And so we're suspicious that we may have traveled in time somehow.
Now this last incident that you just described with the cars and everything, and you know, mm-hmm. checking the frames of the film and everything. Did that only seem to affect the characters or players, or
no,
did that
no the drivers?
Okay.
Yeah, all of us. The drivers were upset. The people who now I'm trying to remember. I feel like the Germans. This is very suspicious. This is the same thing. So as we were taking the boat up the coast, we also ran into a 100 or 150 year old ship that exploded.
Right, exactly. Like we went back in time and that we like viewed the historical thing happening all over again.
And or both it times, came forward. Both times the Germans did not seem particularly perturbed. They just sort of cashed through it as if this was no biggie. So there's something suspicious about their lack of reaction to funny things with time. I say.
Mm-hmm.
But I am heavily suspicious of the Germans in any case.
Suspicious of all the Germans, all the time.
Having worked with especially German archaeologists, say that for something.
Keep your shovel close.
Exactly. Your shovel close and your German closer or something.
Okay, yeah, so after the little jump back in time there on the road up to the plantation, everyone eventually kind of bundled back up into the cars and kept driving. And then about another hour's drive, so as far as your watches go, about 7 or a little after 7 p.m., you roll up to a large plantation house. And a fairly stocky, well-dressed man comes out, big smile on his face, waves, "Hello, welcome everyone, welcome. Please, come in. No, the workers will bring your things in. Don't worry. We have rooms waiting for you. Dinner and cocktails will be served in about an hour, and until then, you are welcome to freshen up, clean yourself
if you
wish.
Are you Senor Roman?
What was that?
Are you Senor Roman?
I'm Senor Morales.
Morales. Oh, what is it to meet you?
Kerry Morales. Hi, Gail.
Hey.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good.
We're just getting into it.
Showed up just in time for another party.
Excellent.
We're not expecting Senor Morales at any. We've never heard of him, right?
Morales. Oh no, you have not heard. Well, you probably would have been given. The name probably would have been mentioned in passing. As the manager of the plantation.
Ah.
This is the Lando Pound Plantation, but there's not... Okay. So I assume that Juaman would be the manager, but he's just somebody who works here.
Yes.
Okay.
He works for Morales. Morales is the manager of the plantation. And so you are shown inside. The plantation itself is, certainly not as fancy, nearly, as Landau's home in Lima, but it is still very impressive. There are a number of artifacts on display in the house, which Miss Robledo will recognize, if no one else can. Probably the probably quite a lot of them, actually.
Yeah.
And probably Mr. Saint-Denis, and probably Monsieur Fontaine. And Professor Salazar is not feeling quite himself, so he goes up his
room. Perfect.
Yeah, but the rest of you recognize them as a number of pre-Columbian Peruvian artifacts, a few items from Mexico and Bolivia as well. And so, yeah, you're shown to your rooms.
And drinks.
Yep.
More. I'm going to spend some time, instead of going to my room, looking over these artifacts and just seeing what he might be particularly interested in, if there's any focus or concentration on them.
Okay. Well, the first thing you know, would you change clothes, or you just... and come down, or are you just like straight for the artifacts?
Unless I'm like just completely dripping with sweat and filthy, I'm just gonna
It was certainly, you know, a kind of a, you know, after two full days on the ship and then, you know, a dusty, somewhat disturbing drive.
Okay.
Here,
so I'll. You know, I'm pretty stinky, in other words.
We would all appreciate it if you changed.
What? What is the problem?
Yeah, but you know, you can just kind of wipe yourself down and
okay.
You know, quick change of clothes and go peruse the collection. So while you're doing so, you notice that, you notice, it's pretty obvious. One of the Germans, Herr Armbruster, is checking out the collection as well. And you see him kind of going around to each piece and looking at it and picking it up. Make a psychology roll or a spot hidden roll.
Alrighty. I'm going to spend 3 points of luck to make that a regular success.
Okay. So you would know that Herr Armbruster, of course, one of the Germans, is the antiquarian, and himself an expert in things Peruvian and Peruvian history. And he is very clearly, he's not just kind of looking at and admiring the artifacts. He is studying them, maybe valuing them.
I will try to strike up a conversation with him and say, Monsieur, this looks like a particularly interesting piece, is it not? And I just point at one of the items that maybe he had just been looking at.
Yeah, and he launches into a 5-minute monologue on all the excruciating technical details of that piece. It's very obvious to, and you know, very technical, very detailed. He clearly knows what he's talking about.
Does he seem covetous of it? Is he just professionally interested, or does he seem more personally interested? Like, I don't know how to put this.
He seems quite professionally interested.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't get the feeling that he's like casing the joint.
Okay.
To try to steal everything in the night. The two of you kind of walk around for a few minutes. And then you come to one piece in particular, which you can see does take him by surprise, which you notice it because it's out of place, right? As you guys are walking and talking, you know, he really has an encyclopedic knowledge of, you know, Peruvian and Central and South American history and culture, and, you know, he is able to give you all the details.
Mm-hmm.
Until you come to this one particular object, and it is a, it looks like a mask made out of gold.
Hmm.
It's about 18 inches across, 12 inches high, and the mask appears to be the face of a bearded man. The eyes are turquoise, and there's kind of some big ornamentations on the ear, like big earrings or something.
Mm-hmm.
And the look on the look on the face of the mask is a little weird. You know, it kind of, depending on how you kind of shift your gaze and look at it, you know, you could say it's kind of sinister or threatening, or maybe it's melancholy, or maybe it's sad. And after, you know, kind of looking at it and studying it for a few minutes, Armbruster eventually identifies it as Nalamp, the founder of the Lambeke culture.
Monsieur, I'm afraid this part of the world is not my specialty. Certainly, this is an interesting piece. It's a bit eerie, if you ask me. The Lambeke culture, that's the tribes from this area, is it not?
Yes, very, very ancient, very ancient.
Hmm.
Remarkable.
It has quite an unsettling effect on me, I must say.
It is rather, yes. It is interesting how the expression changes depending on how one looks at it.
This Nalamp, what can you tell me of him?
He tells you all sorts of stuff, mm-hmm. which is in the notes a couple pages back.
Okay. Just reaffirms all of that.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And
this piece. Ah. Well, perhaps we can speak more of this over drinks after dinner.
Yes, of course, of course.
Ah, I feel much refreshed for having had a short lie down and changed. Definitely ready for dinner. Very good.
I keep checking my watch to see if I've missed any other time, or I'll continue to do that from time to time throughout dinner.
Yeah, so dinner progresses. You know, you can chat with your fellow expedition members and your host and amongst yourselves, of course.
Are the Germans a little more warm at this point, or are they still sort of still keeping to themselves? And
they are mostly being dicks. They are mostly keeping to themselves, except for Herr Armbruster, who
okay.
has found someone he can lecture.
Yep.
in the person of Monsieur Fontaine. But yeah, without a psychology role, you certainly get the feeling that Herr Armbruster is, you know, the reason he's talking so much to Fontaine, you know, it has to do with mostly that, you know, he can talk about what he knows.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
He's almost lecturing more than anything else is... Monsieur Fontaine asks questions.
Can I ask a quick question? I'm sorry, but I was looking back in the notes. They all seem to have, all the Germans seem to have specific roles that I understand, except for Voss. What does it mean to be a German minder? Because he's not the head of the mission. That's Hauer, right?
Security.
Yeah.
Okay.
He minds people.
Our business.
Yeah.
Does Huaman appear at dinner, or is he too lowly in the caste system here?
No, he does not join you for. No, I'm sorry. Yes, he does. Yes, he does join you. For
okay. That certainly, it seems like it would. I mean, that we would certainly spend some time asking him about the guides and the porters and where they went and any sort of arrangements that he made and, you know, what can you tell us about the direction they were headed off and how long they, you know, sort of any maybe they changed their plans and any sort of information that Huaman might care to share.
As you start asking such questions, Fräulein Falk pops up.
Mm-hmm.
Monsieur Saint-Denis, speaking of plans, we must determine our plans for tomorrow. Should we head straight off for the pyramids to search for Dr. Hauer, or if we would like to, there are some wonderful ruins nearby we could go visit after breakfast, then return
to the
plantation for lunch.
I would, of course, love to see the ruins. I was under the impression that you were all feeling rather pressed for time. If there is time to look at ruins, of course. What an opportunity.
Yes.
Perhaps time is on our side. We gained a few hours.
then absolutely we should do that. I'm certain it will be fascinating for Monsieur Saint-Denis and Monsieur Fontaine and even you, Miss Robledo.
I would very much like to see the ruins.
Wonderful, wonderful. Senor Huaman, can you arrange that for us? Well, of course, Mrs. Falk, Fräulein Falk, I would be happy to. We will have the cars take you there straight after breakfast.
And I presume all of you, looking sort of towards Brewster and Fromm, will come and look at these ruins as well?
They look at each other, and they kind of look at Fräulein Falk, and then they... Yes, we will join you.
Very good.
And Herr Ambruster, I'm sure you'd be able to tell us so much about them.
Oh, of course, Senorita. But, You yourself, you study such things, do you not? You probably
I
know
do.
Even more than I do.
Oh, well, I find that very hard to believe.
At some point when there is an opportunity for me to speak with Raoul... I will mention this really strange mask that I saw earlier and describe it and how kind of strange and eerie the expression was. And that it seemed to attract Armbruster's attention.
Could even show it to him after dinner.
Yes. But for now, I will just mention it in case something happens to me.
Look through the mask. That's where I've left the first clue.
That's right.
Yeah, So dinner progresses. There's not a whole lot of conversation. It's, you know, this certainly isn't the swanky party that you were at before. And, you know, eventually dinner kind of breaks up and plans are made to meet in the morning.
Yeah, I definitely want to go. It's going to be good to get outside. I'm an outside kind of guy.
So, after dinner, I guess maybe later in the evening, once people have sort of moved on, I'm interested in going and checking this mask out some more. Unless there are other things that people want to do. So before we all sort of head to bed for the evening, I want to mention
drunkenly pull us all in there to look at some mask. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, without you know, creating a scene.
I would certainly be interested in any Lambakay art antiquities. Sounds fascinating.
Okay, you can certainly do that. The you know, they pretty much after dinner, you know, all the Germans kind of retire and the house is pretty quiet, so you kind of have the run of the place a little bit and you can congregate around the mask.
How is it displayed?
It's on like a little picture stand kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
One of those little folding two-legged jobbers that it sits on and leans up against the back.
It's on a jobber. I mean, come on, Matt. It's on a jobber.
One of those jobbers. I'll sort of, if I can sort of get around to one side of it, I want to look behind it and see what the backside looks like.
You could even just pick it up if you wanted to.
I don't want to do that quite yet. Don't push me, Jim. I'm sure I'll do that.
If you really wanted to, I bet you could put it on.
That never goes wrong.
Does it look like something that could be put on? Is it like the right size to be an actual mask?
It is. It's a little big. And it is, of course... And it looks like, I mean, you haven't picked it up, so who knows if it's solid gold or not, but it certainly looks gold and it looks big. There, you don't see any, you know, holes to attach a strap or anything like that.
And the eye holes there's no eye holes, right? The eyes are jade or whatever it was you said, turquoise.
Right.
I think what Jim was saying was go ahead and try it and see.
Yeah. Yeah, so, all right, I'll pick it up and just kind of very carefully examine it.
Yeah, so it looks more, you know, it's a representational mask. It's not a wear it on your face.
One to wear.
Yeah, dance around mask, clearly.
There's nothing particularly interesting on the back or any other markings or anything on it.
Spot hidden roll.
Can we all make this if he's checking it out?
An 0-4, so that's a...
Oh, wow.
Okay.
It's an oh, wow.
No, the back is just smooth. It is quite heavy, though. In your professional opinion, you would guess that, yes, this is a solid piece of gold.
Good Lord. Mon Dieu.
looking at the other artifacts... Do I notice any that look especially precious or maybe would have been rare or difficult to obtain?
How about an archaeology roll?
Okay. 9.
Wow.
Clearly, this mask is the centerpiece of the collection and is, you know, the mask is something that you have never seen before. The other pieces are examples of things that you have seen before, but they are very fine examples. So yes, this is you know, this is this certainly rivals a good museum collection.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. It's not just, you know, broken shards of pottery picked up off the ground. There's clearly been some care and some expense and some curation that has gone into this collection.
Armbruster was very, very interested in this piece. Obviously, it is very interesting. I'll carefully set it back on its jobber.
I'm sure one of the better quality of jobbers available.
It is.
It's the best jobber.
The best jobber, yes.
Is Landown nearby in the party, or are we kind of off to one room? While everyone else is having fun elsewhere.
Landau did not accompany you from Lima.
Oh, okay.
So no, he is not nearby.
Gotcha.
Yeah, my intention was this investigation of this mask was done apart from, so, you know, other people weren't sort of nearby. But
I thought it was going to be easy, Matt.
Yeah, I was just thinking he'd be the guy to ask about where it came from and what the circumstances were, though its acquisition and all that, because this is his plantation.
That is true. Did we get the sense that Morales is archaeologically inclined over dinner?
No.
And what is this?
You got this. His background. He used to be one of the laborers here at the plantation.
And, okay.
You know, he basically worked his way up to become the plantation manager, and he's very clearly proud of that fact.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, so that's his bag.
And what type of plantation are we? Is it fruit or coffee or?
Coffee, okay.
That bodes well for the morning.
Fresh Peruvian coffee.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's in our best interest that we all get a good night's rest.
Yeah. If we can. After that coffee. Yeah, I don't have anything I would like to do other than having seen this mask.
I would just like to sort of carefully note my camera. Actually, you know what? I want to take a picture of this mask. Before I go up to bed, and then again carefully note the number of shots left on this roll of film and that kind of detail.
Okay.
Before I go to bed.
You note as much. So you all turn in and wake up the next morning.
Hallelujah.
Always a good start. Always a good start.
Yep.
Well, yep. Yeah, we wouldn't know if it wasn't.
It's bright, clear morning. You can hear activity downstairs. And, before too long, there is a call for breakfast.
Well, perfect. Sounds good to me.
For some coffee and...
I check my camera, etc. Check my watch. And on the way down to breakfast, I check the mask as well.
It's still there. So no problems.
a bit obsessively every few minutes. I keep checking my watch.
And after breakfast, the Senor Huaman and Senor Morales suggest that if you're going to visit Tucume, now would be a good time.
Let's go.
And, oh, most definitely.
They suggest to take the horses.
Oh, neat. With the Germans.
The German horses.
No, no, no. These are good Spanish horses.
Well, I'm pleased that I hope that my ride camel skill will at least allow me to
translate
a little bit.
So they bring out the horses. They're loaded down with provisions, and the horses are clearly very well behaved. Those of you who have never been up on a horse, you probably require some assistance in order to get into the saddle. But once in, you find that the horse is pretty calm. All the horses are quite calm, and they have no problems walking, and you just kind of sit there.
Okay. Very good.
That works out well.
Are there some employees coming with us who will deal with lunch and so forth? Or are we sort of on our own with just... I guess we have... who's guiding us or who's leading this?
No one is. They just point you in
no
the
one,
direction.
Okay.
Yep, and it's just your group and the Germans.
Okay.
Go that way. Follow this path. You'll come out. You'll come there. And,
Well, that bodes well.
Yeah.
Yep.
what's his name? Professor Salazar has been to Tucume before, so he,
doesn't need to come.
He knows about it as well as Herr Fromm, one of the Germans, has also.
So he's not feeling well, and it's like, get on the horse, old man. I don't care if you're not feeling well. You know the way there.
So Fromm is not coming, huh? Or he's just already been there, and he is coming. That's worrisome. But Folk is with us. She's...
Yep. Yeah, all the Germans are coming with you.
Except for Fromm.
No, including Fromm.
Oh, including Fromm, okay. Yep. And he's been there before. Okay, I gotcha.
Yep.
Okay. Excellent. Yep.
Yeah, so the ride is rather pleasant. It's kind of bare woodland and scrub. There's a surprising amount of goats kind of foraging through the scrub. Can hear them bleeding. Bleat, not bleed.
Thank God.
We cannot yet hear them bleeding.
And eventually you come out into Tucume. I think we already pasted a picture of Tucume into the notes, didn't we?
We have, let's see, I have this picture of mountain ridges and stuff.
Yes,
that's
that would be
general
Tucume.
Area.
Yep, that would be Tucume. Yeah, the pyramids are the pyramids of Tucume are mud brick pyramids, and they are very highly weathered, so they certainly don't look like the fancy pointy pyramids of Egypt and so forth. But they're still they're still impressive. And Herr Fromm can kind of give a kind of a running commentary of, well, this was found at this time, and know, these things were found here, and people did this, and he's clearly very knowledgeable.
Fascinating. Do they have interiors like the Egyptians?
No, they do not.
They're just solid.
Yes. As far as we know, as far as we know. Perhaps someday when someone will discover an interior, but we have not found anything yet.
And does one up them, or?
Hmm?
Go ahead.
After, you know, about an hour or so of kind of riding around the, you know, the pyramids and looking at them, Herr Voss, you can see
Don't trust him.
Kind of continually looking over his shoulder. He looks distracted.
Interesting. I'll look to see what he's looking at, if there's anything interested, someone following us, perhaps.
You can make a spot hidden roll.
Alright.
Yeah, me too.
That is a normal success.
You just catch a glimpse. It looks like there's someone in the scrub. Yeah, you can, you know, who's trying to hide. You just catch a glimpse, and then they kind of disappear, and you know, then you see another glimpse, and then they disappear again.
Fontaine.
Oui?
I would like your expert opinion on some bit over there. I feel like I see something in the trees.
Certainly, let's go take a picture of it.
Ah, very good, very good. So I would like to see if we can sort of circle around. I don't know if there's enough scrub that we can get lower than it, or if we have to drop off the horses and walk.
Yeah, you would have to dismount and walk.
Okay. Yeah, I would like to see if we can sort of walk back and see if we can see this guy.
Okay, yeah, you do. And you can, you know, again, you can just kind of catch glimpses of him. You can't really see, you know, who it's, I mean, obviously it's a person. They don't look like they're dressed in much. You know, they...
Okay.
They're certainly not wearing Western clothing. And you can see that Herr Voss, you know, it kind of sees what you're doing. And Voss kind of cries out, turns his horse, kicks his horse into a gallop, and starts galloping straight at the figure.
How far away is the figure, roughly?
30 meters.
Oh, I'll run towards figure.
Are we off of our horses?
I think so. At least I think I am.
Yeah.
Okay, I was with you.
Yeah, so you had both dismounted in order to circle around him.
I'll follow.
Okay. Oh, I don't want to be left behind.
Well, you are with Nowak also, and...
Yeah, I was there also Rolito with you guys
and,
looking.
And Salazar and Mr. Manasseh.
Salazar, yeah.
Manasseh, right.
Yep. So, Monsieur Saint-Denis and Monsieur Fontaine, why don't you both give me dex rolls?
I success.
You success.
D4 is not a success.
You are indeed able to get to the figure just before Herr Voss does. You may try to grab him, or... tackle him, or?
So he kind of looks like a native.
yeah, it's clearly some kind of native South American. He's very scrawny, very dirty, you know, very stringy hair, wearing a loincloth and a blanket.
Since my camera is ready, I want to take a picture of him. That's my action.
And he's quite old.
What a scary thing to happen. Just some guy run up to you in the middle of the forest.
snap your picture.
At full speed.
Ah! He cries out and starts babbling loudly. And a moment later, Voss kind of gallops up and grabs a hold of him. And this kind of short, old native man just starts a stream of loud Spanish-ish. Those of you who make Spanish can, or those of you who speak Spanish can make a Spanish roll.
All right.
Yo, guys, are we all there together?
Yes.
Okay. So, I guess that's my native, so I don't have to roll, right?
In this case, you do.
Oh, okay.
Mm.
Well, I have 85, but I rolled a 94, so...
Oh, no. You don't speak arcane Spanish.
I got a 05.
Yep. Yeah, so Miss Robledo, you recognize it's mostly Spanish, but there's a lot of kind of native or inflection in some words and phrases from what appears to be some native language in there. You know, so that's why you can't really quite understand it. Professor Salazar, you are able to, you know, pick out the meaning, and he is just cursing up a storm.
Okay. I'll start talking to him. Let me see if I got it right. He was running away from us, right? We were running towards him.
Well, he was following us.
Yeah, it looked like he was following you.
Oh, okay.
But interestingly, Voss seemed to be on the lookout.
Or he just noticed him before you guys did.
Okay.
Okay. So I'll tell him, hey, in Spanish, hey, what is going on? Why are you following us? We don't want to harm you. We just want to know. We spot you following us, so we want to know.
Yes. It will not be your time. You should go now. Go now. Before it masters you. Beware the flames if you do not want to see me again yesterday or tomorrow.
I will translate for the others.
Is he drunk? He's not making any sense.
In English, I think he's mad.
Yesterday or tomorrow, that seems to align with our experience. Before it, ask him what he's talking about by it. What does he mean, it masters us?
I will ask him.
He just cackles. Here, I will sell you this. It will protect you. And he reaches into he's kind of carrying a leather bag tied at his waist, and he reaches in and he pulls out a little kind of leafy bundle. He holds it out to Professor Salazar. I can sell you each one. One soul each. It will protect you and help you to see more clearly.
I will take it. I have learned not to deny any gifts by the natives. So far.
Do you translate for us?
He's offering to sell it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm
Did he say one soul each? What does he mean?
That would be the Peruvian currency.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah,
<no.
laughs>
you were awfully quick to accept that deal.
Yeah.
Everyone stepped back from Professor Salazar.
Yeah, I will reach my pockets and take... how many are we? Like six? I'll take six holes and give it to them. So
Professor, ask him why he's so eager to help us.
Yeah. I'll ask him. Nicely, as I, you know, giving him the solace.
Oh, I came to say that. And he hands you the little leafy bundles, and he starts walking away.
Let me see how...
The Germans are clearly just kind of disgusted by the whole business.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. Yeah, is what the Germans, especially Voss, makes of all this.
He kind of mutters something under his breath in German, you know, about stupid natives wasting their time. And,
Interesting.
Okay. I will give, a leave to each one of us.
Thank you.
Do you recognize these, Doctor? What are those?
Do I know anything about any folklore tales to talk about protection with leaves or anything about that?
Certainly both you and Miss Robledo would know that there are many stories of the local native shamans using all sorts of bundles and amulets for all kinds of things. Any or all of you can make either a biology or a natural history roll.
Okay.
Oh, 7.
Yeah, I made it 33. Let me check the PDF.
0-3.
Wow.
I'm sure Bates is 1.
Guys, it could be 5. It could be 5.
10 for natural history.
Oh, there you
yes.
go.
Okay.
Yes. I pass as well.
So pretty much everyone. So the bundle of leaves, right, is kind of like it's a big coca leaf that's kind of wrapped around some other leaves and sticks that, you know, you kind of recognize all the bits and pieces here besides the coca itself are all plants that you would know are folk remedies, mostly for tiredness and to ward off evil spirits.
Mm.
So at our best guess, is this something we brew or smoke or
chew?
Just have with you.
Okay.
Since do we still have that hookah?
Yes, you would know, Miss Robledo and Professor Salazar would certainly know that, to use any of these as a remedy, if you were to collect them, you know, yes, you would chew them or boil them or that sort of thing. But since they were made into an amulet like this, it really mm-hmm. is intended to be used as an amulet. You just have it on your person.
Okay.
I'll put mine on.
I'll say it's always good to, befriend the locals. No, no.
And you told us that before that somebody who was it that old man in Tibet gave you some kind of amulet as well.
Still alive from Tibet?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm trying to remember if it was chance or.
I read it in the notes, extensive notes that were. Previous companions left.
Yeah, there was a different Saint Denis, if that counts.
Yeah,
exactly.
That was in the notes. No one. None of the group was in Tibet.
Yeah. It was somewhere in the briefing that was provided to us by Section D at some point.
Seems so long ago.
Well, gentlemen, the day is getting on. We should return to the plantation for lunch so we can head off on our actual purpose here, if we're done sightseeing.
Well, if the Fraulein is complete, if she's enjoyed herself.
Yes, yes. Let us return. So unless you guys would argue about that.
Nope.
I mean, unless there's something that looks really interesting, I think probably good. We've seen better pyramids.
Mm-hmm. Nothing particularly more interesting than anything else.
Yeah.
So you return to the plantation and lunch is served. And as you know, when you return to the plantation, you can see that there is a group of porters that are preparing. They've packed up and they all have all their packs kind of stacked outside, ready to go. And as you come out after lunch, the horses are set up, and the porters are starting to pick up their packs. So we should head out.
All right. So did we get any, chance to... Did I get the sense that we were prevented from talking about what had happened previously in terms of porters and so forth? Was that an intentional sidetrack by the Germans or by the Keeper to get us off that conversation?
That's an interesting question.
Is that a psychology role?
Sure.
I guess I will continue not to know. But I certainly will try to speak with... So Huaman is not coming with us, right?
Is Huaman the one coming with you? I think he is.
He's the one who works at the plantation that is the liaison.
Yep. Yes. He is coming with you because he is coming with you in order to manage the porters.
Okay.
But not Morales, right?
Correct.
Okay.
So maybe we can talk to Huaman about what about that and see if he will answer any questions about where they went before and how many guides there were and anything that may have any sort of, we understand that their plans were such and such, whatever we learned at the party that first night, and was that still their plan when they left the plantation some time ago? And
well, isn't he going to wrangle local guides for us now, right? I mean, the Germans don't know where we're going anymore.
Right, this is what the porters, I assume the porters are sort of the local guides, but maybe there are other guides also? I don't know.
Well, as you guys head out, you would talk to Huaman. Neither your group certainly doesn't have, there isn't a small parcel of Indians coming with you as guides or anything like that, and neither did the previous expedition. But you do know where, it is known where the expedition went, in terms of. They left from here, and they stopped at this village, and then they stopped at that site, and then they stopped at this other village, and then they left in this particular direction from that village, and they were never seen from. And then that's
okay, great. So because that all that information has been collected, because we didn't have access to it in Lima, but here they know these things.
Yes.
Okay, great.
Maybe when we get to that last village, we can pick up a few people as we go right past that tree where they went.
Right. And was there any, are there any sort of, other than the fact that they disappeared, obviously, can we pick up any other tales of oddness about the, expedition, or did they show up, did they travel particularly quickly or slowly, like as if they lost a couple days here or there, or gained them. Any sort of weird stories like that floating around?
No, not really.
Huh?
Not that, not that Huaman knows, anyway.
Right. And he's willing to ask these other porters and who might have had cousins who were whatever, and he's not secretive at all, as far in any obvious way.
Correct.
Does our non-German group have a handle on any particular people that may have been gone? I know Fräulein Falk's friend went, Maurer or something like that. But as far as who anybody else is that may have been in this other expedition, do we know?
I think we did. Because they were well-respected German archaeologists, and we somehow at the party, I feel like we recognized their names.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, as long as it wasn't someone that we recognize as a Nazi who's been actively fighting against all those other people who are dead now that were started this adventure.
No, you do not.
Okay.
Huaman tells you that, so your first stop is going to be at a village called Reflejo de Uye. Which you should reach tomorrow afternoon.
Oh, so we'll camp somewhere. Look at that. Uye. Where'd all these Ys come from?
That's where they've been hiding. Down in Peru.
Jim, quick question.
Yeah.
Regarding this German expedition, do we have kind of a description of the people that went after, you know, that are lost? And do they match... the description of that German that we, you know, that killed a few of our men back in Europe?
You do not have a description. The name doesn't match. The timeline doesn't match. Right, that was only a couple weeks ago, and this particular expedition that you're chasing after left, 6 months ago.
Got it. Okay.
Or left a year ago and was supposed to return, a couple weeks ago, that kind of thing, right?
Does Huje mean anything particular? I ask Huaman.
I don't believe that it's Spanish.
I don't think it's Spanish, no. I think it must be spelled like that.
I'm not sure if I will know if that means, from local language or something like that, from the native. I don't know if I can make a roll, Jim, see if that actually means anything meaningful.
It's a very common Peruvian name.
Okay.
Exactly what it means, I don't know either.
Okay.
Although reflejo, of course, is reflection.
Reflection, that's what I thought was interesting, yeah.
The Spanish speakers would know that. So. It's the reflection of Huye.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The afternoon,
be a mountain.
The afternoon wears on. Dusk approaches. Woman suggests stopping soon and bedding down for the night. Would you all make listen
rolls?
Wow. Listen rolls.
Too busy complaining about Thor backside to listen.
What's the default?
It's 20.
25.
Oh, no.
25.
Either way, David is sleeping hard.
Fail.
No one passed? Okay, then.
Nope.
Never mind.
Makes it easy.
Yeah, so very soon, Huaman suggests you come upon kind of a little clearing in the scrub, and Huaman suggests this is as good a place as any to bed down for a night. And the porters, you know, start to kind of scurry around and set up tents and get a campfire going, and darkness falls.
Are we someplace? Are we still, like, are there villages around and we've seen people occasionally, or are we really out in the,
nope,
the nowhere?
You are out in it.
So, before we go to sleep, before it's dark, I guess, if possible, I don't know if survival desert will help at all, but I'd like to look for traces of a European group that, you know, if there's anything sort of left behind, maybe they camped here also.
You can make a spot hidden roll.
Okay. I guess it's already dark.
Could I?
I might think of this.
Try and assist him with that.
Yeah.
Since I'm an outdoorsy type.
Sure. You can also make a tracking roll if somebody has wanted to do that.
Well, I rolled a 17 for spot hidden.
Nope. 80 plus.
Yeah. So. Mr. Blado, no, you don't particularly notice anything, you know, but to be fair, you know, whether that's because there isn't anything to notice or whether it's because it's already been trampled by all the porters scurrying around and setting things up, it's hard to say. You know, you don't believe that there was any kind of indication that there was a campfire or a campsite here before they started.
Okay.
They built the one that you're using. It's not like,
this just seems like an arbitrary clearing that the woman has selected. Okay.
Yep. How are we stowing our food for the night? Like, can we hoist it up a tree or something?
The porters tell you that there's no need to do that. They will take care of it. Don't you worry your pretty little head about it, young lady. No, you get the feeling that their response to you is, you know, it has nothing to do with the fact of you being a young woman. It has everything to do with the fact of you being city folk, to use a turn of phrase.
I will enjoy some starlight and... Oh, actually, I might have to do a stealth roll, which I don't think I can do, but if at some point I'm awake and Fontaine is asleep, I would like to change his watch.
Very nice.
Yeah, you can make a stealth roll to do that.
Okay. 61. Hopefully he's sound asleep.
Oh, man.
Well, you probably don't. You probably, you know, don't wake him up. You know, Fontaine kind of turns over. You know, kind of grumbles, turns over in his sleep, and kind of rolls on top of his watch.
His arm.
You can't really get to it.
All right. Damn. Try again tomorrow night.
You can all... Well, let's see. Yep. Yeah, okay. Nope.
Uh-huh. Don't bother.
I'd like to have the sleeping place that's closest to where the horses are, so that if the horses start freaking out, they'll wake me up.
Okay. The porters will kind of grumble and shift things around to accommodate you. The night passes. It is quiet, not particularly comfortable, but you know the porters are pretty well stocked for the soft Europeans with your fancy tents and everything. So morning comes. Monsieur Fontaine, would you make an idea roll?
Certainement.
Or an intro roll, I should say. Sorry.
Out of 80. I'll spend the one luck. Make a normal success.
So, Senor Waman and the porters, you know, wake everyone up right about, you know, kind of just right at sunrise, you know, and are preparing a breakfast and starting to pack up the camp. And, you know, as you kind of get up and stretch and come out of your tent and look around and, you know, oh, you know, it's dawn. And you look down at your watch, as you have become wont to do. And, you know, dawn at this time of year in Peru, you know, should be like a 6:30-ish. And your watch says it's 8.
Sacre bleu!
Qu'est-ce que c'est?
It has happened again.
What?
Look what time it is.
I start to laugh a little, but I'll look at my watch too.
I compare my watch to his watch.
They both say the same thing.
I look around suspiciously at my colleagues.
We have... There has been a time jump again. Look here. Robledo. Salazar.
Dad, she called my... Yes.
So it's not as if we slept in. It's the sun is rising. It just literally is a time shift thing. It seems like we're a couple of hours off of when that should be happening.
Yep.
Okay.
Which one of you has done this? This is good. This is very nice.
What do you mean?
A clap for them.
I'll check with the porters to see if they have watches and see if theirs is also malfunctioning.
They chuckle at the soft Europeans and their ridiculous watches. No, none of them.
What about the Germans?
None of them have watches.
Fräulein! Fräulein, do you see this?
What time is it, Fräulein?
It is 8 o'clock. This is the time it should be, yes?
No, seems awfully early for 8 o'clock, or late, or something.
Oh, you. Are you trying to play a joke on us?
Somebody has played a good joke.
What do you mean, a joke?
But I would like to roll psychology on her. See if she's making the joke.
Go right ahead.
06. I think that is a success.
She is not making a joke. But it does occur to you that that something very strange just happened as you were, you know, kind of talking about this being a joke.
Mm-hmm.
That the other three Germans, from Armbruster and Voss, you know, who have been very serious and very quiet and very sullen this whole time, they actually chuckled.
Mm-hmm.
And it you know, as you're kind of, you know, thinking on it, and it, you know, it really takes you aback just because they have been so kind of stern and sullen and, you know, lecturing and keeping to themselves that, you know, even, you know, last night, you know, as people were bedding down, you know, you heard a lot more conversation from them than you had before.
Mm-hmm.
and they just seemed kind of generally, you know, in high spirits, a little jovial even.
Messieurs, that is very, very good to have played such a little joke on us. I'm quite impressed that you have come out of your shells.
They don't seem too impressed with your comment, but...
What is the meaning of this?
What are you talking about?
Well... Albert, yesterday evening, after you went to sleep, I was going to go and change your watch. But you rolled over at a bad time, but I feel like one of the Germans must have seen me at it and got the idea and has gone through and done this instead.
Done it to all of us?
I think so. That's the only way it works, no? That's clever. I wish I had thought of that, of doing it to all of us.
I check my camera. Is there any unexplained pictures?
No, there are not.
The light bulb goes on over my head.
I do not know.
I say aside to Raoul, it seems that we cannot trust anyone.
I suspect that is true. I hope we can trust each other, though, still.
I look at you. Just stay away from my watch and my camera.
Yes, of course.
This is serious.
Well, yes.
Don't you think we should at least consider the possibility that it wasn't a prank? And that something really odd has happened again?
Probably, yes. But after breakfast, please.
So while all this is happening, the porters are preparing breakfast and starting to break down the tents and pack things back up.
So do the Germans seem to be talking amongst themselves, like jovially? You said they were doing that last night and kind of giggling this morning after this. Do they seem to be kind of slapping each other on the back like, oh, well done? Or are they...
No, it's not to that extent.
Okay.
Yeah, but they are certainly... talking amongst themselves more than they were. You know, although, you know, kind of whenever if any of you were to go up to, you know, kind of wander close to them, they kind of shut up.
Gotcha. Is there any way to overhear what they're talking about?
No, they're pretty, you know, they're still keeping to themselves.
Okay.
You know, you can tell that they're much more animated, but exactly what they're source of their conversation or their delight is, you can't really get a bead on it.
Okay.
So by the time, you know, breakfast is over, everything is packed up, and Woman suggests to move out so that you can reach the village by this afternoon.
Yes.
Head out
to Uye.
Over hill and over dale, through some more scrub. For the rest of the morning, into the afternoon, and around 2 o'clock or so, according to your watches, you come to a valley with kind of a small valley. The basin of which is clearly a very large, very well-tended coca field. And there's a little gaggle of huts kind of in the center of this field that you all head towards.
Is the sun directly overhead?
It's a little past that.
But only a little.
Yeah.
Okay. Not 2 o'clock past it.
Give or take.
Oh, so are you assuming we reset our watches, or that somehow the time may have caught up?
You can assume either way. I presume that you did not reset your watches.
Well, I did not reset the watch, so yeah. So sort of looking at the watch when the sun's overhead, it said noonish.
Yeah, the time looks proper.
Interesting.
There are, of course, some kind of, people, villagers out working in the fields. And a couple of the villagers come up to your party as you enter the village. They don't seem particularly pleased. But Fräulein Falk calls one of the porters over, who hands her a large rucksack. And she starts taking out sweets and little wooden toys, which she hands to some of the children who come up. And she kind of hands around, simple necklaces and things like this to some of the adults. Ms. Robledo and Professor Salazar would certainly recognize that, the culture down here, she's doing this intentionally because now they have to repay her for these gifts in some way. There's a culture of reciprocity. They don't seem happy about the fact, but Fräulein Falk, starts questioning them about Dr. Hauer and the previous expedition. They do indeed start, mention that, yes, he was here earlier in the year, in the winter. He passed through this village, and they know that he set up a camp about 10 miles further up the valley by some old temples. There are some complaints about that nothing has been right in the village since the white men came through. You hear phrases like poking their noses into the gods' business. People complaining about the harvest, or the lack of a harvest. It has not been good. The water's been a little bitter. Things of this nature.
Do we know what the old temples are about? Are they Incas or?
You do not know. You are not familiar with.
I'll try to talk to the locals and share a few stories here and there. Try to be friendly. And see what else can I get out of them in that sense.
And mostly you get out of them sullenness. They basically tell you that you should just go away. Your friends that you're following awoke a demon the demon has gotten some of the villagers. It no doubt got all your friends, and it's just going to get you too. So just leave. Don't make things worse.
What do you mean a demon? How is people disappearing from the village?
Some have gone missing, yes.
And how do you know it is a demon?
I saw it. It had a red face, the color of blood. No. It had a golden face with bright green eyes.
All right. Regardless, I will share that with the others.
Your friends are long dead. Just leave.
That's like the mask.
Golden with green eyes, yeah.
The golden face.
Was it a lion's face with no eyes?
A what?
Not again. Not again. Okay.
Right.
Fraulein Falk's, you know, kind of conversation and questioning, you know, does kind of get out, you know, as I said, that, you know, they know that Hauer and his party, you know, set up camp, you know, about 10 miles that way. Can you show us? Hell no. If you want to go get yourselves killed, go right ahead. We're not going.
Right?
So, do we have reason to believe that that thing 10 miles away is basically as far as they got, or do we know that they did some other villages that they were like... I mean, is that where they disappeared from, or do they disappear from further down the track?
This village is the last place that they were known to have been.
Okay, okay.
Fraulein Falk, you know, kind of consults with the other Germans and then comes over to you. It is only 10 miles. We can still make it today. We should go quickly.
Sure. Is everybody feeling up for it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I suppose we can still wear gear, but make sure we have most of the porters here. Make sure we have some lights and things, right?
I assume the porters are coming with us, right? We're actually planning to camp. 10 miles at that site.
Oh, are we going to use this village as a base camp, or is that what we're going to do? Relocate them?
No, the villagers... No.
We're not welcome even... here.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Keep going.
So as we're traveling this bit, I would like to get the rest of us sort of separated from the Germans, which is easy because they try to separate from us. And, do we have any idea? We need to look for our artifact. I mean, the way this has gone, perhaps it will just show up at our doorstep, so to speak, or us at it. But do we have any... I mean, well, at some point...
Section D was... frustratingly vague on this point.
We're talking about temples. Maybe, you know...
This country's littered with temples.
Yeah, but if the Germans were heading towards those specific temples, maybe they knew something that we don't.
It's possible that they were looking for the same thing that we are looking for, of course. Now, we have this clue about the lack of water and something, and I start flipping through my notebook for a while. But I'm not sure I find it. Maybe it's way back up there. No. Where was that?
Are you thinking of the description from the journal?
There was some... Maybe, yeah, it was pure water to wash away the sins of their hubris in the high, cold desert.
There we go.
And there was more like that. Are we approaching high desert?
Well, yeah, I mean, you're getting closer to the Andes, so.
Yes. But the elevation's not. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
You're certainly not in desert now. And kind of looking in the general direction, you know, as you are in the general direction you're moving, it's actually becoming a little foresty, a little jungly.
Okay, yeah. Across honor, having stared into the golden implacable eyes, we shall not know how long they have traveled. They have not know how long they have traveled, only that they have arrived. Well, that seems sort of like us. They will search for water to wash away the sins. Those eyes will not disdain to look forever, and the children of our celestial orb will find that which is corrupt. which is what we're looking for, and revere it as a gift of a god merciless in its glowing wonder.
What they should
coming of conquering... Hey, ho, ho, whoa, whoa.
Whoa, whoa.
Remember those conquering lords on horseback?
Yeah.
Yes, I'd assumed that was the Germans.
Yeah, but what if it's us?
Conquering lords?
Well, I mean, you know, it's maybe a bit of a stretch, but we certainly don't know our times well, and we're on horseback.
Well, I'm not here to conquer anything.
Oh. I guess we'll just have to be ready. We have no direction. No.
We're here to steal the spear.
We're just wandering around this country looking for an artifact. Ah, very good.
Ellie, where are you reading that?
It's on page 12 of the notes.
The paragraph that begins far across the waters.
Okay.
Yeah, so you can just do a search for far across the waters. Golden, implacable eyes of eternity.
Okay, so, yeah. Time passes.
So we discuss uselessly a little bit, and eventually I keep on horsebacking.
Yep. So the direction you're following away from the village, as I said, starts to become a little more forested. You know, leads out of the village, or the valley where the village is located, kind of up into the hills a little bit. The forest is rather quiet. We pass through some narrow valleys and then opens into kind of a wider valley. And as you kind of head up through the trees, you can see ahead of you a low mountain. Probably the foothills, one of the foothills of the Andes. And at the base of the mountain, through the trees, you can see some temples kind of poking up, some ancient ruins kind of poking up amongst the trees. And kind of at the base of this area, through the trees, you can see some tents.
Ancient in its modernity, but there we go.
Wow.
Some tents.
Are the Germans seem happy about this? Can we tell?
Yes.
And are they shooting us now that we've? No. Okay. Good.
No, they're not shooting you. This must be it. This must be their campsite.
Yeah. And we could probably start riding a little faster. It's exciting.
As you approach the tents, you can see that yes, this indeed looks like a campsite of some sort, not entirely unlike yours. In the sense of the same kind of tents and that sort of thing. And why don't you all make listen rolls?
Listen roll.
Not for David.
Yes.
Oh, I do as well, with a 14.
Miss Robledo and Lieutenant Novak, from one of the tents, you can hear a sound. You would describe as snoring?
Okay.
Make the, the military signs for listen and point there.
With all the other military.
with all of us.
Yeah. We look at you mysteriously. What?
Right.
Just like, just
are
like
you scratching your
ear. Yeah. There's just okay, I can hear something in there.
Huh. Maybe it's a bear.
Germans are all like, "Oh, you hear something?"
Right.
The Germans move towards that tent.
Yeah, I'll follow along, very curious.
They pull the flap aside and step in. You know, these are fairly large, you know, kind of expedition tents.
Right, stand-up tent.
Yeah.
Does it look like this has been abandoned? This area has been abandoned?
Yeah. You know, it certainly looks as if someone hasn't been here in quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not like years and years and years, but you
know, say a month.
You know, or 6 months, two. Or something along those lines.
Oh.
And as you enter the tent, you know, this is clearly an expedition tent of some kind because there's a desk, some trunks and boxes. There's a bunch of notes on top of the desk and, you know, various archaeological and other kind of tools and equipment on it. There's a camp bed, and lying on the bed is a rather emaciated and disheveled-looking man.
David pulls his gun.
The European or local?
And as Mr. Manasa pulls his gun, Herr Voss looks at Mr. Manasa. Hey, what are you doing? This is Dr. Hauer. We have found him.
You're sure?
He raises an eyebrow. Of course I am sure. Put that away, you fool. Why are you always trying to shoot everyone?
If you had seen what we have seen, you would understand.
I'll step outside of the tent, keeping my gun out.
I will attempt to look at the notes on the desk while the Germans are presumably looking at Dr. Hauer.
Well, as you move towards the desk, Herr Voss, you know, kind of breaches down and gives the figure, apparently Dr. Hauer, kind of a shake on the shoulder, and you know, this, you know, clearly emaciated elderly fellow kind of sits up suddenly and cries out, "Manuf, where have you been? I was getting worried." And he looks straight in. He looks directly at Herr Voss. "Manuf, oh, I'm so glad. Are Karl and Georg with you?" And he looks around, and he looks at as he looks directly at you, Monsieur Sandiné. "Oh, Georg, I am so glad. I have not seen you. You made it back."
Yeah, of course, Doctor. I am back. How are you?"
And he kind of immediately sort of starts ignoring you, and he looks at the Fraulein. "Oh, Lorelei, what are you doing here?"
"She has lost her voice, Dr. Hauer. She can't talk."
No, Dr. Hauer, I am not Lorelei. My name is Fraulein.
Oh, that Fraulein.
Falk. Yeah, sorry. "Oh, Lorelei, why do you tease me so? What are you doing here?" He looks at Professor Salazar. "Carl, what is going on? Where have you been?"
I look at the others and Well, you don't look very well. Why don't you rest? Is there a doctor here? Like, can you check him out? I look around.
No doctors here.
Is it? I wonder if the others are in their tents too, and perhaps just not making noises. Are Carl and Georg names that we expect for this expedition? Or are they, like, some other names? Let's see, Howard... Because we never got the names of the other... in our notes, we never got the names of the other Germans on the trip.
That's true. But Voss will tell you that he is clearly not well. Carl and Georg were other members of the expedition.
They were. Ah, good. I was wondering if he maybe had slipped back to his childhood or something, or if he really is still in the expedition mindset.
I'm going to go over to one of the other tents and sort of... I'm just going to try tapping on it like I'm knocking on the door, and then I'm going to open it.
Yeah, that's the type of thing I was going to say that David, when he stepped outside the tent, was going to do as well. We can go together.
You know what? I'm going to start looking around in this tent. You said that from the outside it looks like they haven't been used for a while, right?
That is correct.
Okay, so if he's been living here all this time, there's got to be proof of that. So I will start, you know, looking around, looking to see if he's got any notes or notebooks lying around.
Yeah, I'll start helping Professor Salazar.
Miss Riblado, you said you were going out to look in the other tents. The other tents are, you know, they have the same kind of things in them. They don't have the desks and the equipment, you know, they just kind of camp beds and bunks and packs. They're all very dusty. They don't look like anybody has been in here for quite in any of them for quite some time.
No bodies.
Yeah, that was what I was thinking we were going to find. So.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and no bodies. Professor Salazar and Lieutenant Novak, as you kind of start to go through Dr. Howard's stuff, there are papers and a locked writing desk on top of the desk, and as you start to pick up the papers and look at them, Dr. Howard launches himself off his cot and starts feebly trying to grab you and pull you away and yelling, "No, this is mine. These are my notes. Go away. Leave them alone."
Dr. Howard, it's okay. It's okay. I am Georg, remember? It is okay. It is okay. They are friends of ours. Do not worry.
No, these notes are mine. You will stay away.
I will keep my arm around his shoulder, since apparently that's not very difficult to do.
I'll take a few steps back just so he relaxes. I'll do this later.
Yeah, once as you do, he definitely relaxes and eventually, you know, kind of sinks back down onto the cot.
Yeah, Doctor, perhaps you can tell us about your experience. Well, I'm trying to sort of distract him through conversation and maybe distract his attention as well.
Yes, of course. Why are you here? These are our ruins. We have many months of research left. The others left only a week ago to more ruins further into the mountains.
Yes, Dr. Howard. These are some people. We needed some assistance. Carl and I did not think that we were enough to really excavate the whole large... site, and so we have gotten some help.
He looks at you confused, unsurprised.
Good, good.
Why would you think we'd need help? We've only been here for 2 months.
Yes, did you see the size of the ruin? But we went in just a little ways, Carl and I, and it just... We could see that suddenly there was more material than one could possibly do in years with just two of us.
In 2 months. Did you leave a year ago?
I pull out my notebook and start sketching the mask. And I'm trying to really distract him from the desk or wherever his notes are so that whoever's near it can get a look at it. Have you seen this face or this mask? Do you know what this is? I'm trying to distract him.
He does not seem to be distracted, because he looks at you. Yes, Orlando has them. That's Orlando's mask in his plantation. Of course, I saw it just when we left 2 months ago.
But what about here at the site? Anything like this here?
He looks at you suspiciously. Why would I tell you? You're just here to steal my discoveries.
No. We are just interested in... Please tell us more about what you've discovered.
I tell you, Dr. Howard, this is a very upstanding man, and I have sworn him to work with us and work for you. And all the findings shall be in your name. Of course, you'll get all the glory, but there was just too much work. We needed more people.
I try to assist Edwin with his persuade role.
Go right ahead.
All right. So, taking a bonus die, I have 43. Which is a pass. Sorry, that was the important part.
that's what I was waiting for. he still doesn't seem completely convinced.
Sure.
But the attempt by itself is certainly enough to kind of distract him. So that Professor Salazar and Lieutenant Novak are able to get at least a kind of a glancing look at the papers on the desk. And the first thing you notice is that many of the papers are drawings.
Okay.
And they all seem to be drawings of one of two things. And why don't you both make int rolls?
Int. That's a pass. It's actually a... hard success.
One of the, there's many, many drawings, but they're all of one of two subjects. The first subject is a mask that looks very much like the mask you saw at Landau's plantation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the second is the drawing of a very particular... What Professor Salazar, you would recognize as a tommy, a ritual knife.
Kind of like the one that we all saw in our first vision when we showed up here, huh?
And Professor Salazar and Lieutenant Novak, at that realization, you can both make a sand roll.
You're welcome.
And let me check, because I don't think that's a... Oh, it is a pass. Okay.
Okay, no pass for passing.
Okay.
But yes.
You said there's another part that is also locked, right?
Yes.
There's
a writing desk, like a box for you know, papers and writing instruments that is locked.
Okay. Fortunately, I don't have any locksmith or to try it out.
You can make a spot hit. Why don't you make a spot hit and roll, Professor Salazar? All of you, okay. All of you who are there in the tent can make a spot hit and roll.
Ooh. All right.
It's a pass.
Nope.
Nope.
Hard success.
At least someone got it.
You know, in his rantings and ravings, you can see that Dr. Hauer has a chain around his neck with, you know, kind of a big fancy silver locket. And there's a small key hanging on the chain as well.
All right. Dr. Hauer, perhaps you would like to rest some more. It's been a long day. Perhaps you would like some wine.
Ah, yes, yes, certainly. Thank you, thank you.
Give him some wine. Set him back down on his cot. Talk to him quietly. See if he falls asleep.
it takes a little while, but eventually you can get him to drop off. In the meantime, Miss Robledo.
Yes.
So, you know, as you're kind of searching, you know, kind of we're looking around the other tents, you know, this series of this campsite is kind of right next to the ruins of these temples, and between, you know, I say between, you know, it's not like they're that far away, you know, like 10, 15 meters. Between the campsite and the temples, you can see that there is signs of a bonfire. I mean, so not just a campfire, but like a big bonfire. You know, all burned down in ash and charred wood now, but there was, you know, somebody had a big bonfire here at some point.
Okay, I'd like to poke around through the ash. Just grab a stick and...
You may certainly do so. Make a spot hidden roll.
Yep, I spotted the thing. If there's a thing.
You spot many things that your keen anthropologist eye recognizes as bone fragments in the ash.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And, you know, you kind of look around, and so the bonfire, you know, is between the campsite and the temples, but it's in front of kind of one particular building, the wall of which, you know, there's a, with a wall and kind of an opening, and as you look around, you can make a sand roll. As you realize that you have been here.
Well, I passed that sand roll.
You don't lose any sand from realizing that you have been here. But you are absolutely certain that you have been here. That this is where the bonfire was. That you remember seeing a few days ago.
Oh. Is it possible to enter the temple?
It is. And I think that's a good place to leave it for the evening.
Excellent.
Good stuff.
That's awesome.
I feel a climax coming on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I miss all the visions. So...
There was a lot of blood and shooting and
very violent
knife stabbing. Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad I need
cursing me. Germans.
Yeah. One of us actually got shot in the vision, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think.
Very traumatic.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
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 Session.
Thanks, Jim.
Good session.
Thanks, Jim.
Cool. My pleasure.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Right, girl.
Have a good night, you guys.
Bye, right, guys.
2 weeks later.
Yeah, bye. Week.
Take care, everyone. Bye.
Bye.